This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in February of the year 2021, and it is being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this lesson is found in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter number 4, and verse number 6. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is God speaking. Through the prophet Hosea, he says, My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The title for this message, God Don't Bless No Mess. The message for this month is a warning of things to come, courtesy of the God that is known to many but has evidently been cast aside for the riches and pleasures that this world provides. While looking at the events that have occurred in this nation over the past 5 years, I have seen what can best be described as an all-out push by most of the leadership of the Democratic Party to take this nation as far away from God through Jesus Christ as they can get. And what makes it so bad is the fact that they are doing this with the backing of most black preachers who happen to be in leadership in our community. One would have to ask the question, why would they be doing something like this? The answer is quite simple. When you have individuals who are in positions of power that have the ability to make or break an entire group of people by passing or rejecting legislation which directly affects those people, you have the makings of a god, small g. And the result is people tend to look to them for whatever it is they need to sustain themselves. Their entire livelihoods are centered on one thing, and that is whatever they say, do it. Their reasoning being, if I want them to bless me, then I have to be willing to do whatever they say. Typically, the only types of people that think like this are those that are in the positions of slaves to these individuals. And with that being the case, that makes those individuals their masters. Now, I know the word slave is something that the black community has a strong negative reaction to because of our past history in this nation. And no self-respecting African American would accept the idea that they are being a slave to anyone. However, if there are enough people surrounding this individual that reassures him or her that this is a good thing that will serve to better the community, then they will most likely accept what they are being told for the betterment of all. Well, since the church is supposed to be the centerpiece or cornerstone of any community, then the preacher is the one that holds the key as to which direction the community will be going. Consequently, he, in effect, has become a person that the community looks to for direction. Now, since the preacher is supposed to be guiding the people as Christ tells him to do, then the people assume that whatever he tells them to do, they should do because it is coming from God. However, if this preacher is in the position of being a slave to someone, some other individuals who have authority over him, so much so that he looks to them for his own needs, then he is most likely to say and do what these people tell him. And if that means going against what God says, then they will most likely do it. You know, Jesus said something very interesting in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24, and Luke chapter 16 and verse number 12. He says, "No man can serve two masters." What is interesting is that he said two and not more than one. What he is saying is, in this life, we are going to serve a master. And there are only two that are available. One is God, and the other is the devil. It doesn't make any difference whether you are making decisions based on your own intellect or sources. The fact remains, if you aren't following God's directions, then by default you are listening to and following the devil. And as a result, you are going to pay a steep price for that decision, especially if you happen to be one that holds the position of a preacher. The reason being, you are supposed to be Christ's representative. Therefore, people form an image of what Christ is really like based on what you say and do. Now, here is something that most Christians fail to consider. The mere fact that you are a Christian makes you a preacher as well. How so? Because you represent him to your family. When I'm talking about him, you represent Christ to your family, friends, and such. Therefore, they form their image of God based on what you say and do. If you look at the subject verse, you will notice that God is saying that his people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. What he is saying is that the people don't know what? They don't know him. And why is that? Because they either have never heard of him, or they have not been told the truth about him. One of the main reasons for the mess we as individuals, the nation, and the world find ourselves in has to do with this one point. If you don't know what is right and wrong, your human nature is such that you will tend to do wrong primarily. And why is that? Because that is what we inherited from our father, Adam. Ever since Adam disobeyed God, man has been separated spiritually and physically from God. And if you are separated from someone, you can't be expected to know them as well as someone that is close to them all the time. That is why God has given us his only begotten Son to draw us back to him, so that we can get to know him and his ways, so that we can be blessed by him. However, there are those that want you to believe that God is flexible in his reactions to our decisions about right and wrong. He has mellowed over the centuries. He has become more human in his ways of thinking. We are inundated with the idea that God is love. In most of our minds, that means he won't do anything to hurt us or make us angry at him. He will overlook our disobedience because he knows we can't be expected to be perfect, because it's his fault that we are the way that we are. This type of thinking leads one to believe that God needs us more than we need him. Where does this type of thinking come from? From preachers who, through what they say and do, deliver that message. The next part of the subject verse says the opposite of that when he says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me." Here he is making it plain that he doesn't love us so much so that he will overlook the things that we do that go against what he has said. In fact, he will reject us because we have actually rejected him. Not only that, he will not allow us to represent him to the people. Remember earlier when I said that all Christians are preachers? That means, among other things, God will work with and through us to prove to ourselves and others that he is all that he says that he is. That means he will bless us more than those that disobey him. He will do miracles and other signs and wonders through us, and a lot more. But this only comes about through our obedience. Now look at the last part that's in all caps. Well, if you're not reading the tract, you won't know what the last part is. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is what it says. It says, "Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." If ever there were a warning that by its very wording should strike fear in the hearts of any rational person, it would be this one. That this God that is supposed to be a God of love would, instead of blessing our children, would reject them because of our actions. It is one thing for him to punish us, but totally another to punish our children. This, in a lot of our minds, is inconceivable. Why? Because we don't know him. Because we are listening to people who themselves don't know him. Let me paint the picture for you. You are in a world that is likened to a jungle full of savages and wild animals. As a Christian, you have the protection of being in a fortress that is not able to be penetrated by any of the outside forces. In this fortress, you are supplied with everything you need so that you never have to go outside of its walls. Of course, you are not a prisoner inside it. You can go outside it anytime you wish. Of course, doing so goes against what God suggests for you not to do. But you look out there and you see someone or thing that entices you to want to get a closer look. So out the gate you go. What you have just done is left the safety and protection of the fortress to go out into the environment that is totally hostile to you. After examining what you thought was something that you would be interested in, you decided it's not worth your time. All you have to do is come back to the gate. Say the magic words, "I repent," and the gate opens up and you can come back in. On the other hand, you might get out there and like it and want to stay there. What you have essentially done is denounce what you had in the fortress for what you now have outside of it. Therefore, the protections that you were afforded from the fortress are now gone, and you are on your own, and whatever happens to you out there is solely on you. But seeing that your family is protected because of your willingness to be obedient to the rules that God has put before you while you were in there, now that you have abandoned them, they essentially will have to leave as well. Why? Because God does not want to be a part of breaking up a family. Therefore, if you leave, the family has to leave with you, meaning you all have been put at risk because of your actions. A lot of people, including most Christians, have gotten it wrong when they say, "God is going to get you." This implies that God takes an active part in retaliating against you for something that you have been doing. The reality is, forces are set up in such a way that things happen automatically according to the conditions and circumstances. In His divine prerogative, He may move to stop something from happening, but He rarely initiates punishment. The only time He initiates something like this is when the offense is massive and a threat to those that are under His protection. Now, while you are out there, others inside may be interceding on your behalf to protect you from harm. But that can only go so far. At some point, God will have to let them go. Everyone can remember about the stories of the prodigal son, the woman caught in adultery, and the Good Samaritan as an example of God's grace and mercy, but that is only one side of Him. There is the side of Him where He actually tells those that are coming before Him on behalf of someone involved deeply in sin to cease, because He has determined that the person is not worth healing or delivering. Reason being, they would get healed or delivered and go right back to what they were doing that got them in that position in the first place. In Hosea chapter 4, verse number 17, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 15, and others are examples of where God makes it plain that no one should be helping someone that God has relegated to being not worth delivering. When you get to that point, you are close to damnation without remedy. This does not necessarily mean that the person will end up in hell, but it certainly lets us know that God does have a line that He will not go beyond to help someone. What God certainly will not do is bless someone, group, or nation that continually refuses to take heed to His directions and prefers to remain on the outside of the fortress of His protection, and then mock those that refuse to join them. This is the condition this nation, and especially the black community, finds itself in following the results of this past election. And leading the way, black preachers like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Michael Eric Dyson, and others in leadership in our community. You might think you have something to celebrate. Just wait. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 3. Well, that's the end of our message for this month, and I hope you got a better understanding of the position that this nation and the black community finds itself in, who is responsible for that condition and that position, and what needs to be done to get ourselves back on the right track. And most of that has to do with turning away from these so-called leaders that are leading us down the paths of destruction, that are slaves or servants to a political party that's at war with the Christ that we are supposed to be serving. That is, if you're naming the name of Christ. If you're some part of some other religion, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about Christians and people that basically consider themselves Christians, because they aren't Muslim, Buddhist, or Islam, or anything else. We all have a cross to bear, so to speak, and a lot of what we are asked to do or commanded to do by God is not so much that we're asked to do it, but rather we are commanded to do it, and that does not sit well with a lot of a lot of people, especially if you're black and you're in the black community, in the black community, and you're taking a stance against what is popular for blacks. They don't tolerate that. They want to get angry at you and attack you and call you names and stuff. But remember this: anything that you do for God or Jesus Christ will stand. But you got to make sure that it is for Jesus Christ and not for somebody else's benefit or pleasure. So with that being said, I'm going to close this message out, and may God bless you. and your families real good until we get together for another message from the Word of God. Good day.